You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Okay, welcome to episode 370 of Locked On Raptors for, I guess it's still Friday, August 17th. Maybe you're hearing this later on. If you haven't heard the previous podcast, you're going to want to go back to listen to that because that is the first half of this two-parter. We are continuing our conversation of the 12 classic NBA or Raptors games that would go on an NBA TV Raptors theme day were that to exist in some fictional universe where America cares about the Raptors. So if you haven't heard it yet, go listen to the first six games on the other podcast. We are going to wrap it up with our final six games of the list here, myself and John Chick from The Score. John, how you doing?
What's up?
I don't know if I was like necessary to say how you doing, but I don't know. It felt necessary. I don't know. But let's. This is a weird way to do a podcast. Either way, let's continue on with our list to refresh people's memories. The first half, I think, you started off with Game 3 of the Raptors Heat series. Was that the one you picked?
Game 1 of the Raptors.
That's right. That's right.
Game 1. 2012. That was the one they lost. Lowry. Shot. I think it then had, we did Keon Clark, the 12 blocks from 2001.
So yeah, the order was game one against the Heat. I had, then the second one was Terrence Ross's 51-point game, January 25th, 2014 against the Clippers. You came back with the Ben Uzo triple-double game.
That's right.
People know about that if they listen to this podcast. I talked about it all the time. I came back with Game 7 Raptors Nets in 2014, that first round series, the first playoff series in a very long time for the Raptors. You went and went with the Keon Clark 12 block game in March 23rd, 2001. Very random game, but a very cool record, and we talked about that. And then I finished it off with the Derek Martin hits the three-pointer to continue the league-best 628-game three-point streak for the Raptors in a 29-point loss in Dallas. So after that game, probably feeling a little bit down. Maybe you're feeling a little bit up because the end of that game is so uproarious for the Raptors. Let's continue this on, John. Your seventh game, the seventh game on the list. I think this, we're on to like the 3 p.m. time slot. What do you got to continue on the Raptors NBA TV theme day?
Yeah, we're getting into like, well, we're not in a prime time yet, but, and I think the NBA TV programming people would probably want this later based on, but I mean, at the same time, it, in terms of impact, in terms of the Raptors, it's not in the top two. So I will go way old school to the first season, March 24th, 1996.
Yes.
Raptors 109, Bulls 108. And this is noteworthy because I think anybody who's seen this on NBA TV Canada or Raptors TV or whatever. This was when the Raptors expansion team handed the Bulls one of only 10 losses that season. So it's highly noteworthy. And I don't particularly have any memory of this game, but in doing some research, you know, found it was a Sunday afternoon game. So it's plausible that the white Vegas seeds may have been planted here back in this expansion season. I think they only won 21 games. Because, you know, like Jordan, Rodman, Pippen would have flown into Toronto probably on Saturday because I did look it up. The Bulls were not on a back-to-back, so they can't count that as a reason they lost to an expansion team. So, yeah, they were probably in Toronto, and they were probably out. And, yeah, and they probably came to the Sky Dome, where the building was called at the time. And lost by 1 point to Dayton Sotomayor's Raptors.
That is that's still weird. I was 3 years old when this game happened, so I have literally nothing to add. I bet it was really cool. I don't know how I would have enjoyed games at the Sky Dome. Did you ever go to games at the Sky Dome?
I did not. No, no? I remember games being played at the Sky Dome, right. And I remember thinking it was kind of silly to be playing games in a baseball stadium. No, the first Raptors game I ever went to was after they moved in the Air Canada Center in like 2000. But yeah, it I think most of our recollections of this are basically from NBA TV or from YouTube. It just certainly sticks out as a major benchmark simply because that was the Bulls team that went 72-10. So for one of those losses to be an expansion Raptors, I mean, you got to be proud of yourself. And again, like I think there might be something to the White Vegas thing starting there.
That makes a lot of sense. In this game, the Raptors, Damon Stoudemire had 30 points, 11 assists, 11 of 21 from the field. Tracy Murray had 23 points. Oliver Miller had 14, 12, 5 assists.
These names are something else. But I mean, Stoudemire obviously was the rookie of the year that year. Was really like the Raptors' first star, if there was such a thing. I think he had 30. I think Jordan led the game with 36.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of peak MJ. I think he won his, what, second last MVP that year, so.
Yeah, this was also, so Raptors clearly treated this game like a playoff game. They only ran out seven dudes. Doug Christie, Jean Tabac came off the bench. It was Alvin Robertson, Carlos Rogers, Oliver Miller, Tracy Marie, Damon Stoudemire as the starters. That's I'm not shocked this team won 21 games. Oh, good old behind the eight ball expansion back in the 90s.
The other kind of trivia question you can pull out too is the Raptors were coached that first year by Brendan Malone, who was the father of current Denver Nuggets head coach Mike Malone.
That's wild. Mike Malone is so old that it seems weird that his dad would. I mean,
that his dad was coaching like yeah. I guess 25.
Within our lifetimes. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Mike Malone's not that old. Maybe he just like Mike Malone might have the Jack Armstrong thing, like where they're from Brooklyn, and maybe just being from Brooklyn ages.
Yeah, you might be right. He talks a lot like Jack.
Oh my! Mike Malone's 47. Oh, that seems weird.
So you thought he was older than that?
Yeah, right? I thought he was in like his 50s or 60s.
Yeah, I think there might be something to what you're saying about the Brooklyn thing. I mean, we know Jack is, what, 50-something?
53, I think he's at now?
Yeah, so. We won't make fun of Jack too much, but yeah.
No, it's impressive that he's 55, so.
Yeah,
but still.
He lives his life. We'll leave it at that.
I've seen him on SportsCenter the last couple days for this Duke stuff, and he's been rocking the I'm off all summer, fuck you beard, and it's the best. all right, let's move on to the, I believe, eighth game on our list now. We're back over to me. I got some beauties to choose between. I'm going to leave a few for the end. So, okay, my number eight pick, my fourth pick on my list for the, I think we're at 4:30 p.m. time slot. You know, maybe you're making some dinner. Maybe you just want some background noise. December 8th, 2013, Raptors at Lakers. It's the day of the Rudy Gay trade, the one that sent Rudy Gay to the Kings for their entire bench. Raptors win that game with an eight-man rotation, 106-94. Amir Johnson, we talked about Amir on the last podcast. He comes up again, of course, because Amir's a god. 14 of 17 from the field, 32 points and 10 boards. Lowry goes 8 of 13 for 23 points. DeMar has 26 points on 19 shots. And the Raptors, in a way, I think, kind of exercise the demons from the Kobe 81-point game. It's Kobe's return from injury. He doesn't really do much in the game. And this kind of set the stage for the whole era, right? This is the first game after the trade. They do it with eight guys, and you know, obviously we know what came after that. Also from this game, a weird little nugget. This, I believe, is the scene of one of the all-time best Jack Armstrong and Matt Devlin moments where they spot Khloe Kardashian in the crowd, and Jack thinks it's Kim, and it about a minute and a half of just like hilarious old man banter ensues. And so yeah, that also sticks out to me from this game, but it's mostly just the game where they kind of set the stage for what was to come with Amir, DeMar, and Kyle all going off with a short roster to beat the Lakers on Kobe's return day. It was beautiful. Do you remember this game at all?
Yeah, I do. And yeah, you're right, like this, there were a lot of like games that season where you kind of like can pinpoint and say this was like a major, you know, factor in what that turnaround. And yeah, I mean, like I think a lot of us at the time when Rudy Gay got traded, I mean, when Colangelo acquired Rudy Gay the year before, you know, there's a question mark. It's like a lot of duplication with DeMar DeRozan. And it would make a lot of sense. It almost like, you know, in that game for Amir to step up, Amir really was like the most solid Raptor for a couple of years there. He was kind of the heart and soul of the team to then have a game like that. And yeah, I mean, I think after that trade, though, too, I mean, there were still questions of whether the team was, like, able to, you know, where was the team going to go or what direction was it going to go in? But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was it was big. I mean, yeah, you're right, to exercise the Kobe 81 thing, you know, obviously, like, where we talked about that, like, that's going to be on a lot of lists about, you know, classic Raptor games, the like, total victims in that case, but... But yeah, no, it's
not the first victim of a Kobe something.
Yeah, that was a big one for sure.
God. All right, let's go to your next pick. I think we're at 6 o'clock now. We're getting into the primetime hours. What is your next pick? You have two games left. What are you throwing at 6 o'clock as the ninth game on the schedule for the Raptors NBA TV theme day?
This one was tough because, I mean, it was down to two games that I was going to pick. And, I mean, if I got to go with a top one, you'll find out in a minute. But so my second last one, this is May 23rd, 2016. Game four. Eastern Conference Final against the Cavs. And the reason this game's important is because it really was the peak of the DeRozan-Lowry era. When we look back on it now that it's over, that was the last one game they won in that series. They were down, they won game three with the Biombo game, where they had like 27 rebounds or something like that.
Yeah.
Game four, they come back and tie the series, which nobody really expected them to do, and even fewer people expected them to like kind of take the lead in the series. But I mean, for them to win that game at home was incredible. And this was like a good Lowry DeRozan game. I think they combined for like 67 points.
Shot
very well. It's literally, when you add it up just in terms of length, it's the furthest the team's ever got, because obviously they lost in six to Cleveland. I don't know if apex is the right word, but that game might have been the apex of the apex of the Lowry DeRozan era.
I think it's the apex of the franchise, really. Like, that's the deepest they've ever gotten. That was the and the thing about this game that I always appreciate and always look back on is that, so game three, they won 99-84. You talked about the Biombo, 26 rebounds. That was awesome. But this game was a game where the Cavs like didn't really mail it in. They really kind of gave their best shot. I remember in the fourth quarter, they ran out that bench lineup that was just murdering teams the entire postseason with Channing Frye, Dellavedova, Richard Jefferson, Shumpert, and LeBron. And they were getting anything they wanted on offense. It was unstoppable. But the Raptors kept coming back, and Kyle and DeMar just kept making shots. And it was a kind of shot making we've never seen from them in the playoffs before. And it really felt like it was teetering. The Cavs outscored the Raptors by like 10 in the second half. They had scored them 58-48. And it really felt like at some point it was just going to teeter back towards the Cavs. And it had the game been a little bit longer, maybe it would have. But just the Raptors being able to counter whatever the Cavs were throwing offensively at them with just like, all right, we're going to score and keep it going and kick the can down the road a little bit more. It really felt like it was the only time in which they were like on the same plateau, the same level as the Cavs in all of their playoff series, really. So that's kind of why that game rings really like resoundingly in my mind. Just and also that game, I think that was the game that incited Young and Dundas Tupac. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
unfortunately also after that game, it was when LeBron said that he's been part of adverse situations, but this wasn't one of them. I think it was after the Cavs won Game 5.
Yeah.
Back in Cleveland, but yeah. So the disrespect oozed from Bron at that point. But yeah, no, you're right. That game, they didn't cave. They kind of came at them late. I think like Lowry and DeRozan scored the last couple points for the Raptors, and they were aggressive. They closed the game out on, I think it was like 16-7 run or something like that.
Yeah.
That's something that they never replicated again in the playoffs against Cleveland. After that, they did not win the game against the Cavaliers in the playoffs after that, so.
Yeah, so maybe not the most representative game of the Raptors' history in the playoffs against the Cavs, but if you're looking for an uplifting one, that's definitely the choice. But yeah, Game 3 you could pick, too. The Biombo stuff was amazing. I think, was it Game 3 or 4 where Biombo definitely blocked LeBron, but it was called a foul? Which game was that?
I think that was Game 3.
Okay,
or maybe it was Game 4, actually.
Either way, it wasn't a goddamn foul. So, whoever, Zach Zarba, whoever the hell it was, fuck you, man. It might not be Zach Zarba. I'm sorry, Zach, if it wasn't you. Let's go to... all right, this is maybe my favorite game that's on this list. It's a stupid game. It doesn't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things. March 31st, 2007. It's getting the 7:30 time slot because it was so damn stupid. Raptors at Wizards. The Raptors are down 3 with like 5 seconds left. Michael Ruffin does a thing. So the Raptors have to, I think it was like 3 seconds left, actually. The Raptors have to make a long inbound pass to try to get it down the court quickly because they don't have a timeout. They can't advance the ball. They throw it in. Michael Ruffin steals the pass, and it looks like game over. Instead, he just throws the ball in the air, and Morris Peterson catches the ball and does this.
Now will the Wizards foul down the floor, and it's a deflection by Ruffin. And the play continues. Peterson got it! I don't believe it! Is it good if it goes? We got to check it out. If it's good, we're going into overtime and a Hail Mary three by Mo Pete. I don't believe what I just saw. Onions, baby onions.
So Mo Pete ties the game at whatever it was, 109, takes it to overtime, and the Raptors end up winning it. The thing that I learned about this game today that is insane is Mo Pete only played 55 seconds in this game and went 1 of 1 from the field for those 3 points. That's all he did in this game, which is super weird for a guy who was so integral to the team for so long. John, just talk about this game. Like, do you remember watching this game? Like, it was so goddamn nuts.
Yeah, it was nuts. And I think that last year, Mo Pete had been like a franchise mainstay, but I think his last year under Mitchell, like, he kind of fallen out of favor, so he was kind of falling out of the rotation a bit.
Mm.
Played less minutes. That's kind of like the Lowry Heat. Like, this stuff isn't supposed to happen. Like, you know, to catch the ball and then just, like, it looked like one of those shots where guys just kind of throw it up at the end of a game and they're not even really trying. And for it to drop was completely insane. And, like, although I will say that it had some impact on the standings later, though, because somebody brought this up to me that year, and because the Raptors would go on to lose to Vince and the Nets in that year's playoffs. I think they finished tied with the Nets that year. That's right. The Nets and the Wizards tied with the same record.
44.
So had Mo Pete not done that, it's a possibility that Toronto would have played Washington in the playoffs instead of that time New Jersey. So, yeah, it was an incredible memory, like, to actually be able to, like, remember that. Like, and, like, Mo Pete was a guy who played for, I think, like, 7 or 8 years here. So, like, you know, like, that's kind of his signature memory. Like, I know he's a big part of, like, the Vince teams and all that. He went to the playoffs, but that may be, like, his all-time Raptors moment.
Yeah, he was mostly nondescript, so for him to have that moment. Also, it's probably the best Chuck Swirsky call. There's a couple. There's the one, I think, where T.J. Ford hits the winner against the Clippers, if that rings true.
You could probably do a whole list of Chuck Swirsky calls.
Yeah, well, that'll be another podcast for August. We'll just talk about Chuck Swirsky for a little while.
But. Yeah, like, that one was probably one of the greatest.
Yeah, all-time great and very mostly inconsequential. Although, as you just revealed, not so inconsequential considering the playoff seeding. I'm not sure the Raptors would have won that series. That Raptors team was bad. Like, had they played against the Wizards, like, that was a bad Raptors team in totality.
Yeah, exactly. It was Bosch and
Anthony Parker, T.J. Ford, Rosho.
It was Calderon, yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of a surprise team, much like, obviously, the team in 2014 was much better.
Yeah.
And obviously ushered in this era we're currently in. But, yeah, that first team with, try to remind people. Masai Ujiri is an amazing president and general manager. And, like, he's never going to be compared in the same breath of his job as Brian Colangelo, but there was a time when people thought Brian Colangelo was a saving franchise because in his first full season the Raptors won the division. So it's just, we must never forget things like that.
Another side effect if you watch this game is you get to watch maybe the best game Joey Graham ever played. He started, he had 16 points, 12 boards, 2 of 3 from deep, 10 of 6 of 10 shooting. I don't think it got much better than that for Joey Graham, so you get to see that as well.
Yeah, you're right. The Aviator.
Oh, my God. Also, Michael Ruffin in this game. Boy, rough night for Michael Ruffin. He played 26 minutes, had no points, just the one turnover that was very bad, and 5 boards. Not the best night for Michael Ruffin. What a weird Wizards team. We should move on, though. Let's move on to the 9 p.m. time slot. Your final game on this. Is that it? Yeah, your final game on this list, the 11th game on the day. The full day slate of Raptors Classics.
So I'm going to go with, and the reason I picked this over the Cavs one is, even though the Cavs game was actually like the pretty much the apex of the franchise, like we said. Mm-hmm. This game with Vince Carter was, it's still, well, up until 2016 was the furthest the team got. Mm-hmm. And the highlight of that series in 2001 was Game 3, May 11th, 2001. Raptors take a 2-1 lead over the 76ers. Mm-hmm. Vince Carter scored 50 points.
Yeah.
Tied an NBA record for threes in a playoff game that lasted until Klay Thompson just broke it like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm biased on this one because I was actually at this game.
Hell
and
yeah.
It remains to this day like the single most crazy sports event I've ever been at. Like, I can't really recapture. Obviously, I was younger then. But, like, I mean, the atmosphere, like, I think Vince had, like, I don't know, maybe five threes at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And in a concourse level, like, people were, like, it was bedlam. It was chaos. I've never seen a Toronto sporting event like that. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of the other Raptor games I went to later was, like, working. So I guess I wasn't really, like, part of the action or drinking or anything like that. But, like, just I've never seen a crowd like that in Toronto. And that's why I'm biased on that game. But to win that game, they go up 2-1. They obviously lost the series in seven. We all know what happened. But, like, it remains a classic.
The fact that that's the last time the Raptors had led a series for, like, 17 more years is pretty wild. Or 16 years.
It's pretty sad, yeah.
Yeah, so that series is weird because I was like seven, so I don't really have that much of a memory of it. Although I was at Game 6 where they kept themselves alive down 3-2.
That's right.
And they ended up pushing it. They won by like 19 or something like that. I had the ticket somewhere with the score written on it. Yeah, so they won that game, sent it to Game 7, and we all know what happened in Game 7. But that series in general, just a nice early watermark for the team. I feel like since then it's probably been trumped a little bit, even though maybe none of the Raptors stars of the last 5 years have had anything close to what Vince had in terms of gravitas. But as a team, I think they've kind of left that in the past, and like maybe this sort of the sting of losing that series is washed away a little bit because they've been reasonably good the last few years. Maybe not because of the playoff disappointments or whatever, but
Absolutely. Yeah. I think what's happened the last couple of years easily kind of beats that Vince era. I think, like, you know, as we get older, we kind of romanticize the past, but I think that game really kind of encapsulated, like, aside from like the dunk contest, which isn't a game. I mean, people, I think, would think of that game. Like, obviously, people are going to think about the missed shot in the Game 7, but I think of Game 3 was probably his quintessential Raptors performance to go.
Yeah.
You know,
that and like the Suns national TV game, probably.
But I believe he scored 50 in that one, too.
He did. Yeah.
That would be up there. That's probably one we should honorable mention. But yeah, obviously for this game where the stakes are a lot higher, it was something else.
Still one fewer point than Terrence Ross scored. So just keep that in mind. forever on brand, I am. All right, it's the 10:30 time slot. It's the final game of this list of the classic Raptors games. Everyone who has a game that they suggested that's been left off, I'm sorry, but this is, I think, what we should be... It's the rightful way to seal this thing off. April 26, 2016, Game 5, Raptors-Pacers. Oh, this is... I talked about the Kyle Lowry 3 in the last podcast about being the craziest thing I've seen. This was just, like, the most bonkers game I think I've been in attendance for. It was... It went from the switch that was flipped from being just absolutely morose and downtrodden in the arena to the loudest I've ever heard it after Norm Powell's dunk, which is obviously the signature moment of this game. Norm Powell with the steal and the dunk that he almost missed, which I was convinced he was going to miss when he went up with it. The roar that came out of there, I don't think it's been replicated at the ACC since then. It was pretty wild. This game featured, of course, Frank Vogel leaving out the really shitty bench unit he had, and the Raptors completely torched it to start the quarter with their bench, and I think they kept the bench in for much of the quarter. I think DeMar sat this entire fourth quarter, actually, if I'm not mistaken. Kyle came in and ran with the bench mob, and Norm obviously had the moment there. This was also when Drake forced Rodney Stuckey into a turnover by clapping at him.
That's right.
Like, kind of an underrated, awesome moment. And then this was also the game where Solomon Hill's fingers were too long, and he missed the buzzer-beating three by like a millisecond. It was right there, and it would have tied it to send it to overtime. We have no idea what happened in overtime, but that was a bullet dodge by the Raptors as well. What are your recollections of this game? Because it was freaking wild.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of that. We said earlier, the first two rounds that year featured some pretty bad basketball. And like, mm-hmm. that was a series that the Raptors, you know, like going in, everybody thought should have won easily. It wasn't easy, but yeah, and then obviously with the Vogel, you know, what the hell was Frank Vogel thinking? That, I remember Norm Powell and Drake. Yeah, there was a lot of like kind of sub stories going on in that game that you didn't really see anywhere. I guess you talk about like these little things that we remember, like you go back to like Drake and the lint roller in the 2014 playoffs. this game had all kinds of subplots, but yeah, that was, I can see why you'd want to count that one pretty high though. And that should be definitely in the top two that you're going to err on this thing.
There's also a lot of weight behind that game because had they lost, they would have gone down 3-1. And then if they lost that series, I feel like Dwayne probably gets fired. I feel like maybe, I think that was the year DeMar was a free agent. I feel like maybe they just let DeMar walk and sort of start the rebuild from then. Maybe they trade Kyle with a year left on his deal. Like, yeah. There was a lot going into that game. And just considering how ugly that playoff run had been to that point, and the year before, obviously, with the Wizards, it just, like, the series was, it was teetering, right? And that game, you know, by no means, I mean, I think they, what did they do? They won game 5, and then they lost game 6 by, like, 30. They got destroyed, yeah. And then came back for game 7. It was super stressful, but... You know,
and I remember when they came home and won game 7, and that was pretty cathartic, too, because like, up to that point, they hadn't won a playoff series since, like, whenever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, I mean, the game 5 was obviously the key one. And, like to this day, I don't know what Vogel was doing. Vogel went to Orlando, and then he had a bunch of centers playing. Like, I don't know.
Poor guy. I think Orlando broke him a little bit. Maybe Drake broke him, or Norm Powell broke him, but
maybe I don't know what went on there. But yeah, you're right. Like, yeah, it's a lot of what ifs out of that game too. Like, if they had lost that game, I think DeMar would have stayed. I mean, obviously the Lakers probably had some interest in him. He didn't want to go there. He wanted to stay in Toronto. But
yeah,
maybe Casey gets fired then. Maybe what happened this spring happens 2 years ago.
Yeah,
you know. So
it really felt like just sort of the tenor around the team was that was going to happen. So glad it didn't happen. It's nicer that they won that series and went to the conference finals and got a game that we featured on our list. A couple other games that didn't make this list include a couple games from that playoff run. I figured we couldn't load it all with games from that one playoff run, even though those are the best playoff run they've ever had. So let's start with you. Do you have like a few honorable mentions that didn't get put on the list that you were close to putting on?
Well, I think we touched on it earlier. I think you kind of have to mention, even though it's bad, you got to talk about the Kobe 81 game. I mean, it was such a benchmark in Raptor history for so long. I mean, let's face it, too. Like, if NBA TV's doing this, they're probably sticking that game in there, at least because it includes the Raptors. Maybe
they're having a Kobe-themed day. He can have that day. Leave it off the Raptors day. They've been beaten up enough.
Yeah, that one, I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, I totally forgot number two, which was the Vince first game on NBC,
mm-hmm.
50. I think that would probably be on there. I think in terms of other ones in the last couple of years, I think we covered, the 2016 playoff run to this day obviously remains, like, the kind of high watermark of the franchise.
So I have a couple. Raps Heat game 7, that series, I think that's probably Lowry's best game as a Raptor, if we look back on it. That was amazing. Also that same season in February of that year, Lowry had 43 against the Cavs on 15 of 20 shooting, and he hit that game-winning step back. You could maybe argue that's one of the best regular season wins in franchise history. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a high watermark, but...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we didn't include DeMar's, franchise record, of which we talked about earlier for good reason, but I mean, when you start talking about that, but I think with games like that, maybe we're talking about strictly for like personal achievement games, which are very important. These are very important players in terms of the franchise, but I mean, I think those other games, I think the ones we've encapsulated or included kind of encapsulate the whole thing in terms of importance to the franchise, the Bezuzo game. And, also just quality of game as well, and individual performance.
Yeah. We could have thrown in just 12 games from the back half of the 2005-06 season where Mike James went off.
That's right.
Yeah, just like Mike James Day.
Yeah, that's right. The game from 2005-06.
Yeah, two other ones that maybe could have been included. Game 6 against the Bucks when they clinched it, even though they almost blew it in the fourth quarter. But DeMar had that dunk on Thon Maker to seal it. And Corey Joseph had the big three. I think Patterson had a big three in that game too. And then Donyell Marshall hitting 12 threes. Another one of those milestone games. Like,
yeah,
that was so wild.
Another milestone game that a lot of people have just totally forgotten about. Like, Donyell Marshall had that record, you know, like,
till like 2 years ago.
It's nuts. And it's just so obscure too. I mean, I know that, like, that's the thing. I mean, you know, even though a lot of the franchise history, obviously the last 5-6 years we've been spoiled with where the team's gone, but prior to that wasn't really much to like get excited about. But when you look back and see some of these games, I mean, there's some quality gold in this list of like sinkers.
Yeah, for sure. Other ones, I have two more. The one from this season where DeMar dunked on Anthony Tolliver, that fourth quarter was wild, and the overtime is really cool. It's probably not near the top of the list, but if you're going from this season, it's definitely on the short list. And then, this one, I don't know, it's maybe one of the craziest regular season games I've seen in person. It was the, actually there's two. There's the game against the Bucks where they won by like 45, and it was the Bruno game, his first, where they were chanting his name in the fourth quarter, and he came in, scored 8 points. Landry Fields did some stuff in that game too. That game was just some over-the-top joy to be at, because I was at that one too. And then another one that I was at was the Bulls-Raptors, like right out of the All-Star break last year. Kyle Lowry was hurt. They broke like the 12-game streak against the Bulls with an overtime game where DeMar scored 45, I think. And that was when Serge Ibaka fought Robin Lopez.
That's right.
It was a pretty wild game too. So that would be on my short list as well, just sort of as personal ones. Do you have any like games that you've attended or anything like that that like would sort of stick in your mind too?
I can't think of any ones that I attended. The ones that I attended are actually on the list. You got me thinking about if there's one that included a brawl, but I can't think of one. Even like Charles Oakley's era here, like most of his activity seemed to be off the floor, like slapping guys in practice and stuff. But that's a good point. Like that Robin Lopez back one, that was pretty funny.
That
was good stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think we've got everything covered because, you know, like it's all like if you're actually going to program these games, and we're going to put on a game like, say, Raptors against the Pistons from last January, like that. That DeMar dunk might go down and like it's a franchise highlight, but no, yeah. I think we should be happy with the games we came out with.
Yeah, and if you're filling in the time in between games, if you're NBA TV, you could just throw Vince's dunk contest dunks on loop. You could do the "It's Gonna Be a Good One" commercial that probably will be running between all of these games on NBA TV Canada. Same with the Pound the Rock commercial. Throw in a Primo Pasta and Sauce or Hito's Pizza commercial. There are ways to fill the time. Chris Bosch's car salesman all-star pitch.
Yeah, YouTube video,
So that's about it. John, this was excellent. Thank you so much for indulging my desire to find the 12 most classic Raptors games. I think we did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good solid August content. Hashtag content.
With a capital C,
In August.
But, John, where can people check out your work? Where can people find you?
The usual at The Score. You can download the app and all that stuff. Our team, as you know, probably does a pretty good job of covering Raptors in the NBA. And Twitter at Roof That Peach.
What's the origin of that?
I can't even give you like a funny answer to that because it's just something a friend of mine like 15 years ago would say.
Okay.
Like, didn't really make any sense. Like, he would just say like kind of bizarre non sequiturs.
Okay.
When I got on Twitter in like 2010 or whatever like that, I'm like, just think of something random that's on my name because I figured at the time I don't really want my name on this stupid social media platform.
Yeah.
I just put down this stupid saying he had, and I never bothered to change it. I figured it's not worth copywriting because it doesn't mean anything. But, you know, it's unique enough that, you know, maybe somebody will identify me by it.
Follow John, read all of his stuff at The Score, check out The Score's app and all that good stuff. You can subscribe to Locked On Raptors, of course, on iTunes. Ratings, reviews, all that stuff is always very appreciated. And the Locked On Network as well, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On NBA. Locked On, whatever, Pistons. Listen to a show of a individual team that you're interested in, whatever you want to do. It's the summer. Just put whatever podcast you want in your ears. There's probably a shortage of them across the network that like you would normally listen to. So just dabble. Go around. Find some new people. Find some new hosts and subscribe and rate their shows as well. And we'll be back again next week. I think I'm doing an episode on Sunday with John Corrales from Locked On Celtics. We're going to just talk about the Celtics and Raptors and how they stack up. The first of what I'm sure will be many, many podcasts we use that crutch for because, you know, the content needs to be filled. And hope you enjoyed this podcast. We will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.